Okay. The few details, whatever we'll have a chance to get to by lunch today, that we have to fill in from the sugya that are not about the ikar dinim avos, not about the choshen mishpah parts of the sugya. I want to concentrate at least on the two most crucial tosos in here. Kafatz kulan petur. Tosos says this is back on the proof that what was the proof that so Yivadi lost your safek. The proof was that kafatz echad kulan petur. You don't have to mice and rimanafshah. So kafatz kulan petur. Tosos asks a very partial question. Tema libotel beruba. Right? Why should kavatz kulam be a suffix? Right? The assumption is the suffix. So do you have to be machmer misafik? Or are we makel misafik? And the answer is we're makel misafik. Why is it even a suffix? Vithel barov is not a suffix. There's a tin of vithel barov, right? So one was already mono, he jumps into the rest of them, so it's rebuttal. And they shall be chayven meiser. And then he rejects the possible Hagdam Sheminyal Batel, Hainu Midrabanan. And don't say it's because Dabar Sheminyan is not Batel, because that's only a Din Drabanan. We have a Din that certain things are Chashav or not Batel. One of them is Bali Chaim, live animals, which maybe Tosus could also have brought up here. But obviously, we're in a whole Sugya. Or a whole little piece of sugya about minyan, right? Dabar shem minyan, things you count in our batel. Ein lecha dabar shem minyan, gedol mizol. So don't say it's not batel because it's chashev, because that's only a gzeira drabanan, and that would only be lechumra. It wouldn't be lekula. Kavu anami in shayich el dabar sheisrael hetu nikarim viduin lo yodim izalakach kiyom teisha chanuyos. And don't say it's because kol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. Because, and this, we're not getting into the whole sugya of kavua here, but this is the sheet of Tosos in most places, and this is the sheet of most Rishonim, that the din of kol kavua kemechza al mechza domi only applies when the iser and the heter are identifiable. Classic case of kavua is, right, what's classic case of kavua? There are 10 butcher stores, right, this is, right, someone makes aliyah. There are 10 butcher stores in town, and they say, well, everything's in Hebrew, so they're all kosher. And they go buy meat, they come home, and someone asks them, did you check for the Sudan? They say, no, it's all in Hebrew. Everything's kosher. This is Israel. They say, what do you mean? There's one butcher store that's treif. So we don't follow the robe and say 90% likely kosher. We say, since those butcher stores are kavua, it's kemetza al mechza dami. So Tosa says, don't think you can answer this is the case with kavua. The havmin is, if you look at the eighth parak of Zvachim, the Gemara makes it use the terminology of kavua about a tarovis of a herd of animals. When an animal, right, it's the whole beginning of the eighth parak of Zvachim, kol Zvachim is arbehem, chatos mesos or shor niskal or some weirdo gets mixed into a whole herd of karbanos. So it's not batal. The Gemara uses a phrase of kavua there. So it says, don't think this is really the din of kavua. This is not really the din of kavua. The real din of kavua does not apply to tarovis when things are mixed together. The real din of kavua only applies when the isser is usser and the heter is heter, and you can tell what they are. You just didn't pay attention. Like the case of Teisha Anuyos, which again is the shita of most Rishonim in the kavua, that the din of kavua, midoraisa, only applies when the isser and the heter are nikarim, so therefore it's not shayah here. Birya, nami lohavi kidabrishis bechulin, and also don't say the din of birya in a betela, because this doesn't qualify as a birya, as I explained in Maseches Chulin. Now, here, agav, this is, some of us just discussed this in the afternoon, there's a diok that seems to be called for in this Tosos. Right? Tosos says, don't say Zdavar Sheminyan ain't a bottle. That's only Drabanan. So why didn't Tosos say, who cares if it's a birya? Birya is only Drabanan. I mean, he already said, like, oh, we're not worried about dinim drabanan here, right? Like, a din drabanan wouldn't be able to be makel, a din drabanan wouldn't be lahachmer. So why doesn't he just say, the hadid of shemini ubiri lo betele, you know, hainu mi drabanan?
I mean, it's not really, it's not drabanan.
Okay, but it's, correct, but it's still a little funny. Once you already explained that we don't care about dvarim shemini betele mi drabanan, you're saying it's not a diuk mukrach, but it still seems funny. Like, he already explained, we're not worried about Zeres Rabbanim here. So why is he bringing up Birya? Birya, all the things are batul or only midrabanan. This is a tremendous machlokas. Achronim, whether you die from this tosos, the Maharil, Shut Maharil Sinem, Ayin Beis, I think, yeah, and most Achronim are medayik in this tosos. The tosos thinks all dvarim chashuvin are batul midrabanan. But a birya is not batul midaraisa. Therefore, Tosos says, oh, maybe it's a birya. That wouldn't be batul midaraisa. He has to say, no, this doesn't qualify as a birya, as I explained in Chulin. So my real is dying from here that birya is more chomer than all the dvarim chashuvin, and it's not batul midaraisa. Why would birya be more chomer than all the other dvarim chashuvin? So, the simplest way to explain it is that, all the other Dvarim HaChashuvim are only Chashuv because they're Chashuv to people, or because they're Chashuv in a secular sense, right? They're Chashuv based on human society, or based on just what they look like. Birya is chashuv in a halachic sense. What's the chashuvus of birya? The Gemara explains in Makos, and it's also dealt with in Maseches Shavuos in the beginning of the third parak, etc., that a birya has a nafkamina. It's so chashuv that even if it's less than a kezias, you get malchus for eating it. So if you eat an ant, you get malchus, even though it's less than a kezias, because it's a birya. That's before in the Gemara a few places. So it could be, since birya, the chashuvus of birya, is not just natural, but it's halachic, right? It has a special place in the halachic system. Therefore, maybe that kind of dvar chashuv is not batul midaraisa, a birya. A natural dvar chashuv is only not batul midrabanan, but a halachic dvar chashuv is not batul midaraisa. So maybe that's what Tosfos has in mind, that a birya is more chomer because it's a more... it's a halachic kind of chashivas and not just a natural kind of chashivas, and therefore it's not batul even midaraisa. Okay, this is controversial. I put in brackets here the place in the beginning of Siman Kof, the sugya of birya, argues on the Maharil, says no, Tosis didn't mean that birya is not batul midaraisa. Tosis just meant it's a more chomer kind of dindarabanan. What Tosis meant is that vale chayim lo batul is just like a gzeir drabanan. They only made that lechomer, not lekula. But birya ain't no batul. Birya is so chashuv, they didn't just make exeger l'chumra as a chumra. They really made a takana that me'ikra din birya can't be batul. And therefore, bein l'chumra, bein l'kula. And that's why Tosfos is bothered by birya. So again, Tosfos says, I'm not even bothered, but Darsh Minyan is not a havmin to answer the question. That's only drabanan. Birya is a havmin to answer the question. But this doesn't qualify as a birya. Why would birya havmin to answer the question? Sam would say lav davka. But I think the simple shot is that he really did have havmin of birya. So the Maharil says, because birya is daraisa, because birya is more chashuv than everything else. And the place he says, because birya is a more serious zeir drabanan. It's not just a chumra drabanan, it's an ikra din takana drabanan, that it's not batal. But either way, Tosa says that birya is not the answer, because this does not count as a birya. The ein lomar shel nisher ve'idirak echad, and don't say the reason it's not batul rov is because there's no rov; it's just one jumped into one. Delek aruba, the lashon letocha lamashma achi, the lashon letochan sounds like it jumped into at least two. And that would be a very dark shot. So Tosus doesn't have an answer to his question: why is it batul rov? Tosus does not answer the question. The question becomes, how do we? I mean, you have to answer the question, right? So how do we answer the question? So there's a few different shatim floating around here. The Tosfos Rosh at first, and the Tosfos Reina Peretz also takes this approach. What did the Tosfos Rosh answer at first? Why is it not batal? What? But what's the word you're looking for? Exactly, bali chayim are not batal. That's what the Gemara explains there in the 8th parak of Zachim. Why is, if you remember that Mishnah, right? It's called, right? The 8th parak of Zachim is called Perak HaTarovis. It's I lo pam lo pamayim. Someone's going to say, I'm looking for Perak HaTarovis. I can't find it. Where's Perek HaTarumas? I keep looking where it says in Zvachim, and there's no Perek HaTarumas. Just says on top, you know, Kol HaZvachim. Yeah, so Tarumas is the nickname of the Achron, but it says on top Kol HaZvachim, because it starts with Kol HaZvachim Shinis Arvu Be Katos HaMesos, etc., etc. Right? So Perek HaTarumas is the nickname the Rishonim gave, aptly. For this perek, that's the eighth perek. And why is none of these bottle? Any of the animals get mixed in bottles? So the Gemara ends up saying there's a rule that bali chayim are not bottle. Bali chayim are chashev. Live animals are chashev. They are not bottle. So says the Tosus Rush and the and the Tosus Vayner Peretz that bali chayim are not bottle. That's one answer. Bali Chaim, Einam, Betalim, this is, sorry, Tosos Rush, and the Tosos Vayner Peretz. Okay, what's the, then he asks a, the Tosos Rush asks a side kash on himself. What's a side kash on himself? Even though Bali Chaim aren't bottle, this is just Shaka Vatar in the 8th paragraph of Zvachim, Bali Chaim aren't bottle, but what could you do anyway, if you had a flock of animals, and Bali Chaim aren't bottle? You could. Well, then there's still a bottle. What? Nechveshinu denaydi. You could cause them to scatter, like pen them in some place and then let them go and scatter around. Once they scatter around, they're no longer tarovis. Each one is just its own animal. And what rule would you apply for each animal? Called a parish, the group of parish, right? Once it's not a tarovis, you don't talk about fitl anymore. Now you're just talking about what the odds are. So why not make them scatter and then say every one? It's chayiv and meiser, al pi rov. So the answer is to the Exeir Rabbanan in Zvachim that says you can't do that. Because if we let you do this, you might just take from the Tarovis. Yes?
It's clear from the Tosfos Rosh, at least at this point, that he thinks that the mechanism with the world and like Akrabah and Lahatos type of thing are two fundamentally different mechanisms to
be modulated. I don't know about the fundamentally, but otherwise, yes. Fundamentally is always a hard word.
Okay, one takes care of...
Yeah, yeah, obviously. Yeah. You're certainly right. We'll have to come back to that.
I understand
exactly what you're saying, so let's wait till we get to the end. I'm with you 100%. Anyway, so ultimately, it's only Drabanan. It's only Xer Drabanan. So what do the Rishonim say? It's only Xer Drabanan. So what do the Rishonim say? Exactly. Yesh Koach. V'yesh Koach b'yad chachamim. Lakor Tavra Minatora Be Shev the Altase. Right, after it's a Shev Altase, you're just not meisering. And even though it's Drabanan, meaning Tosa said, it's only Drabanan, that can't be an answer. You can't give a Drabanan answer. So Tosa says, you can't give a Drabanan answer. Yeshov Yachon Lakor Tavra Minatora Be Shev the Altase. You're allowed to give a Drabanan answer. After all, they're not telling you to do an Aveira, they're just telling you not to meiser. Keep in mind, there's no tevel mamish. There's no iser tevel, rather, for meiser behavior. It's not usher to eat an animal until you meiser it, like it's usher to eat your apples until you meiser them. There's just a mitzvah saseh to do meiser behavior. If you don't do meiser behavior, you've been mevatel at mitzvah saseh. Okay, that's like not blowing shofar on Shabbos. Yesh tov yachon lakor tov minatora b'shev altase. No, no problem whatsoever. The Ritva is a little upset about this, He says, well, the Ravana should only use that koach when they're really afraid of someone doing a big aveira. They shouldn't use that koach stam. But Tosfos Vayner Peretz says, no, sometimes they have to use that koach to make general rules. After all, when they make a rule, they have to make a general rule or else it won't hold. So they made a general rule. Tosfos Rosh says, we even are preventing someone from doing an aveira. Because what might someone do? They might... it's actually a little fun. It's not mamish. They might take one that was already went through and bring it as a karban and be chashu kula mazara. I mean, it wasn't really because it's bit of a robe, but it would be something that resembled an aveira. So to avoid people doing things that border an aveiros, the chazal made this takana. Okay, so we need involve the ritva, but it's not ma'akev to say there wasn't such a big need here. Okay, maybe there's a big enough need. We didn't want people to do things which might look like aveiros. We didn't want people to come to aveiros in other contexts. We needed to have general rules and low plugs in the Torah. So, yesh kav yachom lak v'dur Torah, b'shev yaltasa. Okay, I wasn't so medayik yet in the Tosfos Rosh's lashon, but we'll leave it like that for now. Okay, the more sets possible, technical possible, the more fascinating answer is the Tosas Rosh in the end in the Ritva. What are the Tosas Rosh in the Ritva saying? What's their answer? Why don't we use Bittel Berov? What? Because Bittel Berov is Rov, and Rov is in Vada. You need Asiri Vada, below Asiri Safek. That's the, let's start with the Lashon of the Ritva. One second. What was our mnemonic? Was it Chadoshim Gam Yishanim? Yeah, here it is. He doesn't like the idea of the Tosfos Rosh and Tosfos Minhag Peretz. In general, I got the Ritva, and most Masechta seem to have had the Tosfos Minhag Peretz. That seems rejected. Even though we have Rov Asiri Vadai Velo Asiri Safek. And that's also what the Tosfos Rosh says in slightly, a bit more arichos, which we'll get to in a moment. Now, this has a chidush kaful. This is a chidush kaful in this Tosfos Rosh and Ritva answer. One, is what some of the achronim picked up on, is, well, is a rov vadai? Or is a rov suffik? Right? What is a rov? A 50-50 is clearly a suffik. 100% is clearly a vadai. What's a rove? Is a rove vadai or a rove suffik? That's a reasonable question. That might, in yeshiva's terminology, you might call that the chakira of whether a rove is a bir or a hanhaga, right? Do we consider a rove to be a halakhic proof that now we're... Now, what do we mean by is a rove vadai or suffik? Meaning, I don't mean, scientifically is a rove vadai or suffik. Scientifically, rove is a rove. Right, whatever that means is a philosophical question. I am the philosophers of science, and they don't know either. But scientifically, a rove is a rove. The question is, do we call that a vade or a suffix halachically? So, that's not so clear. That might just depend on how we interpret the xeris akasa. Does vade mean vade mamish, or does vade mean more than suffix? It also might depend on what a rove is. Is a rove a beaver? Does a rove a really valid proof that we really think we know the answer? We're sure of the answer. Or is a rove hanhaga? We follow a rove, but we're still not sure about it. So that's an interesting chakira. So the Tosfos Rosh and the Ritva are always quoted by the Achronim. All the Achronim start with Tosfos Rosh and the Ritva. Say we see from here that a rove is still considered a suffix. It's a suffix with our rule for resolving the suffix. But it's still a suffix. It's just a suffix with a psak. A rove is a suffix with a psak. This is the famous sheet of the Pnei Yoshua. Right? The Pnei Yoshua that I Xeroxed here says, where do you have a parallel? The most parallel sugya to ours, or how parallel it is, we'll have to be an ayin, is by Mamzerus, the fourth paragraph of Kiddush. We say, Mamzer Vadei Usser, Mamzer Safik is Mutter. Mamzer is Usser Bekahal Vadei. He's Mutter and Kahal Safik. So the Ritva says that even when there's a Rove, that's still considered a Safik. And therefore, a Rove Mamzer is still considered a Safik Mamzer and Mutter Midoraisa. So if there's a 90% chance someone's a mamzer, midoraisa, they're not a vadai mamzer. They're a suffik mamzer, and midoraisa, they are mutter. Okay, what the din is rabbanan depends on the details. And that's what he says. Avgadu chola torah zling basa rubo chadok al mishvei kevadai. Filo achishani hachar, de'ika yafusa de mamzer, suffik lo yavel, fina al mishlam dungi, suffik tal, kama shakas batos shana b'shash, and ifsumei chadosh, and yisuffik ol mashu lo mikri kal Hashem vadai, elba vadai gomer, masha enkem beruvu miyot, lo shayak lo mishu vadai kal Hashem. Kama shmai gal, yada efshu shumi amiyot. He says you can't call something a vadai if it might or might not be true. You can have a rule of a rove, but it's still not called a vadai. So this is the shita of the, if we ask the simple question, is rove called vadai or suffik? Is rove called vadai or suffik? So the Pnei Yoshua doesn't quote our, right? But the Pnei Yoshua and the Mashmos of the Ritva and the Tosfos Rosh here says that A rov is called suffik. A rov tells you how to paskin mokum suffik, but it's still a suffik, it's not a vadai. Therefore he says, a rov asiri is not an asiri vadai, it's part of maizer behema. A rov mamzer is not a mamzer vadai, is not osolom of a kol. Someone who's rov kosher is not a kol vadai, it's mocher mariom zeris, etc. And the Pnei Yoshua used this to answer a famous question. There's another answer, not to worry, which you might have heard of from just reading the beginning of Shev Shmaitza, right? I always wonder about the statistic of yeshiva guys who've read Shev Shmaitza Aleph Aleph versus yeshiva guys who've gotten to the end or even halfway through. I bet the ratio is about at least 100 to 1. But even in Aleph Aleph, which all yeshiva guys have read, you know, the same applies to Seal Shashar. There's more like 20 to 1. Because Seal Shashar is harder to do than the Shev Shmaitza, but easier to understand. But Shev Shmaitza Aleph Aleph has the famous kasha. We all know the machlokes in the Rambam and it's called the Ran or the Rashba, you know, where the famous Bar Plutas. What's the famous machlokes at the beginning of Shev Shmaitza? In some of the Raisa L'chumar, me the Raisa or not? So the Ran and the Rashba and other Rishonim hold some of the Raisa L'chumar me not Torah. The Rambam has the famous Shita. Some of the Raisa is only Xerat Rabbanah. Me the Raisa, every suffix is mutter. So he asks, if me the Raisa, every suffix is mutter, why do you need a special Xerat Zakasa of Vasiri Vadai? Midoraisa, every suffix is mutter. Why do you need a special Xerat Zakasa of a mamzer vadai little suffix? Midoraisa, every suffix is mutter. If midoraisa, every suffix is mutter, why do you need a special Xerat Zakasa in some places? So, the Pnei Yoshua's answer is, you don't need the Xerat Zakasa to matter a suffix. Meaning, midoraisa, every 50-50 suffix is mutter. That's not what the Xerat Zakasa is for. The Xerat Zakasa is to be matter a rove. After all, obviously, midoraisa, 90% iser isn't mutter. That's the rule of rove, right? The Xerat Zakasa is matter a rove. So this is how the Pnei Yoshua answers. Pnei Yoshua mitarit ledas harambam. My kamashmalon xeris akasov of asiri suffik and mamzer suffik. The answer is kedei lahatir afilu berov iser. Right, the 50-50 suffik. You don't need xeris akasov to be mamzer. That's always mutter. The Xeris Akasav for the Rambam is being matter, even when it's a 90% likely to be usher. That's in Kol Tar Kulo Usher Min HaTorah. And the Xeris Akasav, and then these two areas of Halacha is mutter. That's what Pnei Yoshua's answer. Okay. The Shem Shmaitzit was a different answer.
What does he do with the other
Rishonim
with Yom
HaSlech? The other Rishonim, Givaldik. Every Suffolk Doraisa should be usher Min HaTorah, so you need Xeris Akasav matter a Suffolk. Whether it's also matter Rover or not, could be it is. Yeah. Could be matter more than one staff at once. Now, that's the Shita of the Pnei Yoshua. However, they ask on the Pnei Yoshua, they ask an interesting question on the Pnei Yoshua. one second. Yeah, the Shev Shmaitza asks an interesting question in the Pnei Yoshua. He says, if you're going to say every rov is called a suffik and every rov is mutter, then, says, let's go back to Mamzerus. Right? A mamzer is mutter to marry a mamzer. He's only usher bekal. He's only usher bekal vadai. Is anyone a kal vadai? How do we know everyone's not a mamzer? Let's say someone's mother was married, right? Most people's mothers are married. So, I don't mean to say this the wrong way. But, let's say someone's mother was married, as the typical case. How do they know that their father is their mother's husband? Maybe they're the product of an illicit adulterous affair. There's not a chazaka, there's a... What's the rule called? Rove bilasach harbal, I'll be rove. Hold on a second. Everyone's only rove kusher? Hold on. Then no one's ever called Vadai. No one's ever Vadai. If no one's ever Vadai, then there's no issue of Mamzerus, because everyone's a Suffolk Mamzer. Right? It's only Rome that you're not a Mamzer. Again, maybe it's different if you're... Yeah, but even if someone's mother is single, so still, How do we know their father's not their mother's brother? That would also make them a mamzer, right? You never know. The answer is, okay, rogue people aren't. Right?
Isn't there cheskes kashrus? Yeah.
That's an interesting question. What about a cheskes kashrus? Okay, that could be a potential answer. I hear the taina. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
So that's exactly what the Shmaitza says. The Shmaitza makes a chiluk, right? The Shem Shmaitza ask a kasha on the Pnei Yoshua. He says, but that's not true. He says, we do rely, we do consider a rov to be a vadai. After all, the Shem Shmaitza says, right, his kasha is, kasha, kol adam, Eino Kahal Hashem Ella Alpi Rov Beilos Acher Habaal. And yet we call that Vadai, right? Nikra Vadai Kahal Nikra, really Kahal Vadai. Right? Manzul Yavu Bekahal. A man is only not allowed to marry called Vadei. He's only not allowed to marry someone who's Vadei Kusher. But no one's Vadei Kusher. Everyone's only Rov Kusher. So why can't the Mamzer marry anyone? Sorry. Why can't the Mamzer marry anyone? That's his Kasha. And he asks a... okay, we'll leave the... we'll leave the second Kasha for now. So the... So now, there are a number of ways, there are actually plenty of ways that one can answer this question. But what the Shev Shmaitza does is, so, Shev Shmaitza says it depends what kind of rove you have. How many kinds of roves are there?
Two.
Two. How do we know there are those two kinds of roves? Where does it say in the Gemara? It's not the main place. The Sugya Rov, where's the Sugya Rov? What? Kulin, right? The beginning of Kulin says that there are two kinds of robes. So, what does he say? What are the two kinds of robe? There's Ruba the Isa Kaman and Ruba the Lesa Kaman. Ruba the Isa Kaman means like animals, right? There are 60 animals and one of them is a Manui, right? It's Far Avar, right? That's Ruba the Isa Kaman. You can count their X of these and Y of those. Ruba the Lesa Kaman means Derech HaOlam. Rov Be'ilos Achar Baal. That's Derech HaOlam. There are a number of things in front of us. Just the way of the world is that it's more likely that when a married woman has a baby, she was impregnated by her husband rather than by a paramour. That's the Derech HaOlam. As opposed to our case, so Ruba the Lesa Kaman is like Rov Be'ilos Achar Baal. It's like all the rules about the way of the world. Right, the odds are that, you know, that everything's normal. Right, that's Ruba the Lesa Kaman. Ruba the Isa Kaman means, no, I count, there is one jump back into 23. It's now 23 to 1 ratio. That's a Ruba the Isa Kaman. They're in front of us to count.
I can't count, which, isn't the point of Ruba the Lesa Kaman, I can't count because it's like a suffix idea. There's no way that I can count it anymore. I can't count which animal is the one that jumped back. So it's really
doesn't matter, I know how many there are. That's Ruba the Isa Kaman. I know how many there are. Ruba the Isa Kaman means, I don't have to know which is which. I know exactly the count. It's 23 to 1. Or however many, 56 to 1, whatever you have in your pen, right? That's Ruba the Isa Kaman. If those are Ruba the Lesa Kaman, no one can count. It's the whole world. We just know in the way of the world, this is how it usually works out.
Okay,
I didn't say that. So, what does the Shev Shmaitza say? The Shev Shmaitza makes a fundamental chiluk. He loves this chiluk. He makes it many times, the Shev Shmaitza. The King Ruba the Isa Kaman, Ruba the Lesa. Ruba the Isa Kaman is still called a suffering. Ruba the Lesa Kaman is called a Vadai. So he says, a Ruba the Lesa Kaman is called a Vadai. Meaning, you know, you, Chaim Yankel, are you Vadai a Kosher Yid in Kahal Hashem? Yes, you're Vadei Kosher Yid. It's only based on our knowledge of the Derech of the Olam, you're Kosher Yid, because who knows what could have happened? Doesn't matter. That's called a Vadei. Ruba the Lesa Kaman. As opposed to, If there's 23 animals and one is manui and 22 are still still tevel, then that's a ruba de isakaman. A ruba de isakaman is still a suffix. Now, what seems to be stronger, ruba de isakaman or ruba de lesakaman, based on the Shev Shmaitzer? What's he saying? A ruba de lesakaman is stronger. Now that's a little funny.
I mean, honestly, I can compare this. I mean, with Anisha, by the Dira, you saw a cow jump in, so you have a
that's a ruba de isakaman.
But with a man and a woman, you don't. What do you see? I mean, you also
that's why it's less common. What's the point? The point of the Shev Shmaitza is this. Actually, the Gemara Chulin sounds like ruba de isakaman is stronger. Because the Gemara Chulin says, what's the makor of rov? Anyone know what's the makor of rov? Right, Akri Rav Mahatos. Right, one second, I just have to find the line in the Gemara. Akri Rav Mahatos. So the Gemara says, no, that's only how proves a ruba de isakaman, right? Because Akri Rav Mahatos is originally the dayan. They're isakaman, right? We can count them, right? How that only proves ruba de isakaman. But how do you know ruba de lesakaman? And in the end, the Gemara actually has a lot of trouble finding an answer. Goes on for a whole lot, has trouble finding the answer. It sounds like the isakaman might be stronger. Why? Because we can actually know the odds with vados. We don't have to speculate. Every isakaman needs some speculation. Ruby the isakaman is in front of us. So the Shev Shmaitz explains, even though in the Shach Matari and Chulin, sorry, I was quoting from Nafian Aleph and Aleph at the top, Ruby the isakaman might be an easier rove to prove. Maybe Ruby the isakaman has an advantage. Why? Because you can be sure that it's a rove. Right, every ruba de lesakaman, you think, but you can never exactly be sure how to measure. That's what statisticians figure out. Usually they just figure out how that you can measure it any way you want, and sort of do it in a way that most benefits the person who's paying them. But whatever, they figure out, like it's very tricky to figure out how to measure ruba de lesakamans. Ruba de isakamans are very simple to measure. You know, it's 1 to 23. All right. It's right there in front of you. Ruba de lesakamans are tricky. How do you define your sample space, for example? Right? Very, very, very tricky. Very unclear, right? I don't know. Ruba de lesakaman. Go figure out if a cow is treifa or not. So, do you ask if most cows are treifa? What if this cow is in Wisconsin? Do you ask if most cows in Wisconsin are treifa? What if this cow is in Wisconsin at 4 years old? Do you ask whether most 4-year-old cows in Wisconsin are treifa? What if this cow is in Wisconsin at 4 year old? But it looks a little schwach. Do you ask about... Yeah, it's very hard to figure out ruba de lesakaman, and then go figure out the answer to those things, even if you've decided. It's very tricky. So ruba de isakaman is stronger in that it's right there in front of you. So why does the Shmaitza say that it's weaker? So he says very, very pashut. Ruba de isakaman, even though the rove is clearer, the miyot is also clearer. The rove is very clear. You clearly have a rove, but you also clearly have a miyot. So it's pashut you can follow the rove. But on the other hand, you can't call it a vadai because the miyot's right here in front of you. How can I call it a vadai? It's 23 to 1. There are 24. It's 23 to 1. How can I call it a vadai if the 1 is here? I don't know which it is. But the 1 is here. How can you call that a vadai if the miyot is bifanecha? So that's what he says. That even though the rov might be clearer in isakaman, and that explains the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, which says it's easier to prove ruba de isakaman, but the miyot is also clearer. You know there's a miyot in front of you. You know there's a miyot here. You can't ignore the miyot. How can you ignore the miyot? You used to have 23 lambs in here. Now you have 24 because one jumped back that was already mother. How can you ignore it? Like, it's here. It's in front of you. It's the 24th. So therefore, you can't ignore the miyot. So, follow rov, but you can't call it vadai. You can't call it a vadai because the miyot is bifanecha. Right? So ruba de isakaman, again, he's not going against the Gemara in Chulin. Ruba de isakaman is a better rove, but it's also a better miyot. That's the chab of the Shmaitza. Right? Therefore, it's so pashut we should follow the rove in ruba de isakaman. It's a clear rove. But it's also pashut we have to remember there's a miyot, because there's a clear miyot. Therefore, we follow the rove, but we can't say it's a vadai, because we all know there's a miyat hanging out here. On the other hand, the less that come on, maybe it wasn't so possible we should follow the robe. It's more of a chiddush to follow the robe because you're nervous about exactly how to measure it. You don't know exactly how to get your hand, how to wrap your mind around it. But once you do follow the maskanas, we do follow Ruben the less that come on. Okay, exactly. What's the marker of the chumash we're all getting to now? Once we do follow Ruben the less that come on, you can ignore the miyot because the robe wasn't so clear. The miyot certainly not so clear. After all, for all we know, no one ever committed adultery in this town. For all we know, there are no one ever had a baby through adultery, etc., etc. So therefore, we can ignore the miyot and say vade. We just don't worry about the miyot. That's the chap of the shmeitza. He's mechalik fundamentally between the two types of rov, isa kamon and lesa kamon. And even though most of the time we consider the isa kamon to be a stronger rov, he admits that it's a stronger rov, but it's also a stronger miyot. Therefore, you can't call it a vada. That's the chap of the shmeitza. You have a question? So it's interesting, meaning it could be that you could find a case that would break the Shmaitza's mold by saying, it's Ruba the less to come on with a miyot befaneinu, and then he would say, okay, I'm molded in that word case. Right? If you could really construct a word case, which you haven't fully done yet, then maybe I'd say anachanami.
I know there are buzzes that are interested in that too, but does that call, you can call it either come on, because the world means, and I'm not thinking of nothing in the entire world, I know all the parables in front of me, but I know there are buzzes in types of fruits, or there are buzzes in some stories. It's a Ruba the less to come on.
Okay, that's still, you could say, look, I don't mean in front of me. Hey, that's a great example, right? I have a cabbage. I know that 20% of them have bugs. That's a Ruben the lesser come on. Even if I know there are bugs in the world, lemaisa, there's no meat in front of me that I have to deal with. I can just ignore and say there's no bugs. I can say there's no bugs and nothing has to bother me. Ah, there are bugs in the world. It doesn't matter. That's not in my purview right now.
Is he saying that since it's always inferred in the case of the lesser come on, as opposed to, like, we know that out of these 10 pieces of meat, there's one piece of meat which is trait. Meaning, I never know anything about what I'm only inferring from other things that happen.
Exactly. It's not befanecha. Right? The meat is not staring you in the face. Now, obviously, the meat is not staring you in the face. It's not nicker. But the meat is in front of you. The meat is not in front of you, Ruben the lesser come on. Since the meat is not in front of you, you can ignore it. Once you ignore the meat, it's a vadai. Ruben the lesser come on, you can't ignore the meat. Okay. The Dvar Avraham has an interesting chap. The Dvar Avraham, right? The Dvar Avraham is famous, I think, for only one sugya in Shas. Which sugya in Shas is he famous for? Any yeshiva should tell us? The first Dvar Avraham. The first Dvar Avraham is the one about Situmta, has all the lumbus in Situmta. That's the first of Ram, all the lumbus in Situmta. Okay, he's famous for that whole sugya. But he has a lot of very, very interesting, in Yonim here. I think, no, in YU lore, isn't he the one who gave the letter to the Rav when he came to America? The Dvar Avraham, right? He gave a famous letter to the Rav.
Apprentice.
What? Yeah. He's the one, when the Rav came to America, he wanted to get a letter from one of the Gedolei Ador. So he got a letter from the Dvar Avraham that says that, you know, something, I mean, really exaggerated language. Obviously. Not, but what would seem to be exaggerated language if I didn't know was about the Rav. He says, you know, besides the regular Elohim Gon, Halacha can also call Makom and other things. Okay, that's his little piece of Ari Shiva's Masora. The Dvar Avraham has a fascinating cop to answer the Shmaitz's question, or at least this one of the Shmaitz's questions. The Dvar Avraham answered this question by being mechalik not between different types of robes, but between different Xeris Akasos. He says, Rove Nikra Vadai Linyan Mamzer. Rove is called Vadai Linyan Mamzer. But it's not called a Siri Vadai. If you want to know Linyan Mamzer, if you're Rove Mamzer, you're a Mamzer. If you're Rove Kahal, then you're Kahal. Answer the Shev's mind's question. Why do we follow the rules of Rove and Yuchsin? Because Mamzer, Rove is called Vada, Linyan Mamzer. Rove really is good enough to be a Vada, Linyan Mamzer. But Linyan Asiri, Rove is still called Suffolk. Why? Linyan Asiri, Rove is still called Suffolk. Why? So he, I mean, anyone could say that. Right? You haven't said anything yet. So he says, because there's a fundamental difference between Asiri Vadai, the loss of your Suffolk, and Mamzer Vadai, the Mamzer Suffolk, which is twinned with Kal Vadai, the low Kal Suffolk. He says, Mamzer Vadai, the Mamzer Suffolk is a din of Hakra, Sakalacha. Only someone who's passed in to be a Vadai Mamzer. Asiri Vadai, the loss of your Suffolk is not a din in the Hakra. It's a din in the minyan. It's a din in counting. The only thing that's called counting is when you know what you're counting. If you don't know what you're counting, then you're not counting. There are some things you can't do al pi rov. You can't do misafik. Right? There are certain things you can only do, right? There are certain things you can only do, right? Bivadai. Otherwise, they're not that misa. Now, there aren't that many of them. But, okay, the philosophers would discuss, you know, certainty. You can't probably be certain. Right? I mean, if you're probably certain, you're not certain. But how about counting? I can't probably count. Because the definition of counting is that I know how many there are. Bivadai. If I don't know how many there are, bivadai, it's not a misa of counting. And therefore, he says, because Vadilinyamamzer, because that's just a din of hachra. You need, right, a hachra vada'it. You need to for sure paskin the guy's a mamzer for him to be in the Isser of mamzer. So you for sure paskin. But over here, because it's a din in counting. Counting misafek. Even Al Pirov, counting, you know, probably is not counting at all. What he'd say is if you ask me, count, right? Count how many coins there are in this table. And I say, there are probably six. I haven't even probably counted. I haven't counted them at all. If I don't know exactly how many they are, then I haven't counted them. Because it only counts as counting if you know how many they are. This is an explanation that some of the Achronim use to explain which question of the Baal HaMor at the very end of the Masechet Pesachim. Why is there no Sfeika D'Yoman Sfirsa Omer? So the Baal HaMor gives a different answer, right? Why is there no Sfeika D'Yoman Sfirsa Omer? Right? So some of the Achronim say, because the mitzvah Sfirsa Omer is to count. If you're Masupik, you're not counting. Therefore, they can't be speaking to you as Fierce Omer, because then you're not counting at all. It's not. I'm not promising you possibly that way. What if someone just stopped lost their count? Should they not bother? So Lamaise, if you stop and lose your count, you should bother, because we're not sure whether this Dvar Avram is a true Svar or not. But the Dvar Avram would say, you know what, if you're in the middle of Fierce Omer, and you forgot if it's 9 or 10, then there's no point, what would we do? We would say, Hayom Teshayom, and Teshayom, and Hayom Asorayom. So there's no point. Then you're not counting at all. Right? And that's why there's no, again, he doesn't bring them in here. That's why there's no Sfeika D'Yomer for Sfirsa Omer, because if you're counting the Suffolk, you're not counting at all. The definition of counting is knowing the exact number, not thinking you might know the number. That's the chap of the Dvar Avraham. That's the chap of the Dvar Avraham. And therefore, what are you doing? You don't know, basically, what am I doing? I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't really know if I've counted 10 or 9, because I can't count one that's already been counted. So if I don't know if I've counted 10 or 9, then I haven't counted at all. And if I don't know if I've counted 10 or 9, then I haven't counted at all. That's the example of Asiri Vada, the Asiri Suffolk. Nothing to do with Mamzerus. Mamzerus is a Kula. A Kula is that you don't have to be Machmir, but Makam Suffolk. All right, but Rov is a Vada, so I have to be Machmir. Here it's not a Kula. Here it's a Hafkav, the getter of Minyan. If it's a Hafkav, the getter of Minyan, then even if I have a rove, I still haven't counted.
It's quite tricky to say that knowledge, it has to be based on an absolute certainty. How do you even just fall asleep in the tide and say you count as
no, right? Okay. So you can mechalik between a latest asafik and a lack of a latest asafik if you want. Although, then you'll ask me the other question. That's a perfectly fine answer to your question, but it's not an answer to the question you would ask that. But let's say for now that, no, something that's crazy that you have no reason to ever think would ever happen, that's that being certain. Meaning when we say counting has to be certain, that means certain in the way that humans are capable of certainty in their normal life. That's what counting means. Obviously, it doesn't mean certain in the way that God is certain. Right? It means certain in a human way. Now, what if certain in a human way? Maybe space aliens came and hypnotized me and I lost my count. I'm certain in the way of normal human beings in human life that that didn't happen. There's one out of the 23 is already counted. Obviously, I can't be certain. No human being would be certain then. So that doesn't bother me.
What does the Bhagavad do with the reason why we need a classic
Are you for the Rambam? I'll give the classic answer that Shev Shmaitz ends up liking. That we don't have a special Xeris accustomed by Namzer. That's just the mucker of the Rambam we call it Torakula. Right? That's what I said. There are other answers to that.
Just in terms of counting, there is a value to counting in an imprecise way, knowing you've limited the range of the...
No, that's not called... You asked me, is there any value at all in any area of human endeavors? Minastam chicane. Now, I didn't mean to say that it's never worth counting something imprecisely, because obviously sometimes that's perfectly fine for the purposes you need. If I want to eat 6 cookies and I count them imprecisely, then that's fine because eating approximately 6 cookies is perfectly fine. I'm not going to die if I eat 5 or 7. But I didn't want to eat 1 or 2 because I had a big taiva. That's fine. But when you're talking about zeros because of a siri vadai, that halachic requirement to have a counting, that has to be a vadai. So obviously sometimes it could be kedai. If you want to know how much of your population lives in each state, so you can figure out like how much money to give to the Department of Education, then obviously an approximate count is useful. That's not what I mean. What I mean is it's just not called halachic. It's not called halachic counting.
On the other hand, if in a machine you need like 6 diodes here and you put in 5, it's going to affect the whole thing. That's the other side of the story.
Now, Agav, I'll just point out another question that I already put on the sheet, so I'll be tichis too. They also ask, why isn't everyone pater from Eiser Behema? Because Trefa is pater from Eiser Behema. Since Trefa is pater from Eiser Behema, then why, and how do we know your animals aren't Trefa? I'll be rove. So why don't we say, you can never have a siri vadai because there's always a suffix trefa. So Shev Shmaitzer would have no problem. Shev Shmaitzer would say, no, that's a rubid lesson, come on. That's called a vadai. The Dvar of Ram might have a little more trouble with this, but even the Dvar of Ram, I think what he might say is that, no, you still count it to 10. You still count. You're not misubic about your counting. You're misubic whether they're pasul or kosher. Only in our case, you're misubic about your counting. Because if you already counted one, you can't count it again. Over here, the problem is you counted wrong, because one jumped back in and that messed up your count, right? Everyone knows. How do people make mistakes in counting? They count the same thing twice, right? So it could be that he would limit it to say, only over here are the problems in goofing your counting, do I say it's not a mice of, it's not called a siri. But if it was a side problem, it might be called a siri. Or he might answer Rav Chanan's in the Kota Aras, which is that since every animal is suffic trefa, then it's a xeris custom that you shouldn't worry about that.
But even, like, he also mentioned that by a siri vadai, like, there's a cause of needing a vadai was only clapping the count.
Right, that's what I said. Yeah. Oh. Anyway, the agave, if you ask how did the Pnei Yeshua answer all these kashas, right? I mean, the Pnei Yeshua says, Mamish, every row is only a suffix. So, how does he answer the kasha from the Menzeris? So, you have two answers in the acronym. But Rabbi Akiva Iger gives a complicated answer. He says that every rove is considered a suffix until you already paskin it once. Then it becomes a vadai. Since every baby that's born, you have to paskin right away whether it's a mamzer or not. Therefore, the suffix turns into a vadai. As opposed to our sogya, where you don't have to paskin until you're ready to meiser. Therefore, it didn't turn into a vadai yet. Or, Rav Chanan suggests another answer, which is that in the case of Trefa, and in the case of adultery, there's no latus a suffix. There's no latus a suffix, you don't have to worry about it. Only over here there's a latus a suffix. Okay, I complicated things a lot. Kitzer, though, the ikr is what I put here. The how far do we take this chiddush of the Tosfos Rosh and the Ritva that a rov is not called a siri vaday? Pnei Yeshua takes it all the way. Rov is always called suffik, not called vaday. Therefore, whenever there's a heter of suffik, even rov iser is mutter. The Shem Shmaita splits it. He says, no, Reuben the Isakamon is called the suffik, but Reuben the Lesakamon is called the vaday. And the Dvar Avraham says, no, he splits the sugyan bab metziah. And the Kiddushin, he says, depends what kind of vaday you need. If you need a mamzer vaday, rov counts as mamzer vaday. That was a kula. You were making on suffer, we're not making on rov. A siri vaday, even rov doesn't count as a siri vaday, because that's not a kula. That's a hafkov, the minion. That's not a mice of counting. You haven't counted. And if you haven't counted, then if you're masufa, you haven't counted. Even if you probably know the answer, you haven't counted. Because only a vaday counting is called counting, which again is one of the answers the Afronim give to why we don't take a dioma in Sfir Sa'omer, even though it's not the answer the Baal Mor gives. Alright, now obviously this is the tip of the iceberg, but it's good enough for now. This is the first interesting part of the Tosfos Rosh and the Ritva. Right? However, what is the second interesting aspect of the Tosfos Rosh and the Ritva? This is the first interesting part. What is the second interesting part? The second interesting part is Tainach, Pnei Yoshua, Dvar Avram, Shev Shmaitzer, wherever you want to go in the Achronim, and this is only tip of the iceberg, Tainach will grant them. You know what? Rov still called Suffolk, so Asiri Vadai, Vlo Asiri Suffolk, so even a Rov is still called Asiri Suffolk. I think almost all Rishonim would agree with them on that. However, one problem still remains. Really, Tainach, a Rov is still called a Suffolk. Does that actually justify the Ritva and the Tosfos Rosh? Are they talking about Rov? Are they talking about Aslina Basaruba? What are they talking about? Are they talking about Kol Deparish? Is the Ritva talking about Kol Deparish at least? They're talking about bit of a Rov. Hold on a second. There's two different types of Rov going on here, right? There's the famous Rav Chaim in the stencil who explains how we can learn two different kinds of Rov from one Pasuk Achir Rav Mahatos. Okay, Ayin Shem, if you're interested, where's the stencil? In Baba Kama? In Baba Kama. But the Achronim asks a more fundamental question. Hold on a second. There are... They answered that Azlinan Basaruba, which corresponds to Kol Deparish Miruba Parish, is still called Asiri Suffolk. But that wasn't our original question. Our question was Bittel Barov. Is Vaday Mutter. We're not talking here about following a rove, following the odds. We're talking about Bittel Barov, a Chefza of Taroves. Bittel Barov is Vaday Mutter. Can I prove to you that Bittel Barov is Vaday Mutter? I'll prove to you that Bittel Barov is Vaday Mutter. If I have a chulent, and I 100-ounce chulent, I drop in 1 ounce of lard, is it Mutter or Usher to eat that chulent? What? Is it mutter? Every spoon of that cholent, am I eating lard? Is there lard in every spoonful of that cholent? Yes, because the lard dissipates through the cholent. So why is it mutter? Why is it mutter? Is it mutter because I'm probably not eating lard? No, I am eating lard. Why is it mutter? Because the din that a chefta shel taroves becomes mutter, right? The chefta turns mutter. But bittel barov vaday mutter. The chefta turns mutter. That's why I can eat my chulent even though there's a little lard in it. Because the cheft of taroves became mutter. It's not about the odds. It's about the identity of the cheftza.
That can be a masalik still in that case. And in this case where there's different pieces.
Aha, okay, great. So excellent question. Let's just bring this back here. Right? Example of lard in chulent. Proves that the Hefcha Shel Taroves becomes mutter. Nothing to do with probability. Right? What was the whole way in Roman numeral 1 we explained the Rosh and the Ritva? It's all the labor that came to the Achronim. All the labor that came to the Achronim, which again, we just scratched the surface of, is on if something's probably mutter, if something's probably usser, is that called Vaday usser or is that called Suffolk usser? But Tarovas, Bitharovas, that in your probability. There is no probability. I know that every spoonful I eat is 99% other things and 1% lard. There's no probability. It's just a din that it's mutter, that it turns mutter. The hefta turns mutter. So, I don't understand. Of course this is this is not a serious suffix. This is bitl barov. This is a hefta shel taroves. So, you're asking something already?
No, I'm just not clear. I thought when they give the answer of
a
serious
suffix,
that's answering why.
Are you in the Tosrush or the Ritva?
Tosrush.
Okay, so hold that thought. Let's start with the Ritva. The Ritva, you admit I'm right. You don't have it on your computer?
No.
Here's the Ritva. Ready? V'im tomar amay p'turim kev shamoni ha'zeh eno nikr yeh batal barov k'truma shenafla l'toch tevel shubateyla tirtu betosos, etc. And the answer is elavad afilu te'em edo alachayim b'yal m'til midoraisa hachi lo batal hay mishum da'amar achman asiri asiri vada v'lo asiri suffik. That's clear, he's saying. It's not batal because asiri vada v'lo asiri suffik. So, now, let's get back to what Josh. Bit of barov is vaday mutter. It turns into a heter. That's the din of tarov, is a bit of barov. It turns into a chefza shel heter. So if it turns into a chefza shel heter, how can you call that a suffix? That's a siri vaday. It turns into a chefza shel heter. Right? Exactly. That's the din of bit of barov. Bit of barov equals hataroves nepach lechefza shel heter. And that's a vaday. That's not a probability. That's just the identity. The identity of something goes by the rove. That's a vaday. That's not a suffix. What does that have to do with anything? I don't understand. You mix, 100 bushels of cotton with 1 bushel of linen. Now you want to know if you're allowed to, use it to sew a wool garment. It's not a matter of probability. It's not probably us or probably mutter. It's 100% mutter because it turned into a heft of cotton. So, okay, so what's pshat, Moshe? I'm sorry, I'm going to need you to clear up some room for me. Ezra still has a chavrusa who wasn't zocha to levaker benomash, lasos benomash, so levaker bechol over intercession. So Josh Gutenberg says back, right? He says, hold on a second. Don't you guys remember all the lundas in Yerudeus and Kuftes? Right? What did Josh Gutenberg say back?
Difference between Dara Yavish and Dara.
Exactly! There's a difference between Tarovis Yavish be Yavish and Tarovis Lach be Lach. So what does Josh Gutenberg says? Josh Gutenberg says this is a famous Kakira, and I know, hold your horses, Ellie. I'm with Seder. This is a famous Chakira. Clearly, Taroves Lach Bilach, meaning the lard and the cholent, nothing to do with probability. It's just a din shachefta nepach leheter. How about Tarovis Yavish be Yavish, right? Tarovis Lach Balach, we understand that. What does Tarovis Lach Balach mean? The lard and the cholent. It's mamish all mushed together. Where's the lard, where's the cholent? It's not that we don't know which is lard, which is cholent. It's that it all melded into one piece, right? Basically, like, the lard is the cholent is the lard. The lard melted into the cholent. It all mamish became one piece. So then clearly, it all mamish became one piece. So caution, if it all mamish became one piece, then it's nepach to a piece. It's one piece. It's either a piece of iser or a piece of heter. The answer is, it's a piece of heter. That's bittel lach balach. But here we're talking about bittel yavish b'yavish. What does bittel yavish b'yavish means? Bittel yavish b'yavish means I have 3 steaks in my freezer. One is, we're not dealing with chatzimah this coming now. Right? One is, I have 3 steaks in my freezer and I'm Spartan. Okay? For all the afternoon city fellows. So I have three steaks in my freezer. One is treif to our kosher. Have they physically melded into one piece? Clearly not. They're in one freezer, but they're three different steaks. I have no way of knowing which is which. Meaning, I went out to the store. I said, give me two steaks for me and give me a treif steak for my cat. You know, it's his birthday. Or my dog, it's his birthday, I'm going to give him a steak. And I brought them home, and he put a little label on it so I'd know which was which. And the labels fell off, and they're in my freezer. So, bottle. Little yavish b'yavish. But that's not exactly the same. Here, the items are still, each item is still distinct. I just don't know which is which. So this is a hakira. What about tarovish, tarovis yavish, b'yavish? There's two ways to view taros yavish b'yavish. This is a classic yeshivish of hakira and yordea. One way is that no, it's also a chefza shel tarovis, just like Tarovis lach blach, and therefore it's nepach lechetza shel heter. That's one way to view it. Now, I know it doesn't look the same as the lard and the cholent, but halachically it is the same as the lard and the cholent. These three steaks have now become one chetza of tarovis steaks. It's one chetza of tarovis of steaks. I know a scientist would say it's not the same, but, you know, we're not scientists. We're closer to warriors than scientists, but that doesn't sound good. We're not scientists, we're halachists. And halachically, a chefta tarovus, the chefta tarovus, I don't care whether they melded together or whether they're just sitting next to each other. It's a chefta tarovus of steaks. That chefta, it's now one chefta, but tarovus of three steaks. So is that chefta mutter us or the chefta is mutter? It's the same as yavish b'yavish, the same as lach b'lach. The other side of the chakira is that no, this is not really, you don't need really, not a chefza shel tarovis. There's three separate steaks. Why are they mutter? But each steak is mutter. Josh is going to say, why is each steak mutter? Because? Because called the Parshah Ruvah. Because that's lina basaruba. Because the odds are that it's kosher, right? Because as linan basaruba, the odds are that it's kosher. What's the, yeah?
Wouldn't that depend on how we hold the Taurus Revelation, what you can eat, what you can't eat?
Ah, so I was about to say, what is the classic, well, I'm not going to get into the details, right? Within this nafkamina, there are details. What is the classic nafkamina of this hakira? Can you eat all three of them, right? Now again, this is details. Is the nafkamina, can you eat all three of them, or is the nafkamina, can you eat all three of them at once? You know, okay, we're not going to get into that detail, but can you eat all three of them? Right? That's the classic nafkamina. Can you eat all three of them? So, classic, there are other nafkaminas. Can you eat all three, right, let's say, at once, right? Can you eat all three of them at once? Right, I don't know, you'll chop them up into chopped meat, mush them all together, make it into a hamburger. Can I eat that hamburger? So if you say it's a chefta shel tarovus and turn mutter, then can I eat them all at once? Yeah. Of course. And this is famous as the shita of the Rush. On the other hand, if you say no, it's not a chefta shel tarovus, just the odds are it's mutter. And then what happens when I make I combine all three of them at once? Now the odds. Now what are the odds? If I eat all three at once, what are the odds it's mutter? 0%. Right. And this is right. Chayev chatas, right? Or I would say usher, and mefurish tosus rid in Vavasra, daf laman aleph, who says if I eat all three, I'm chayev chatas. He actually goes further. He says even if I eat all three, not at once, I'm chayev chatas. Assuming in the details, there's a tzeirah between all the achilas of a person. He says if I eat all three, I'm chayev chatas. What do you mean? What? So obviously, it's a chakira. Okay, who else is classically put on the, who's classically put on the other side of the cure of the rush? Normally, not the Tosfos Rid, right? Most people don't know Tosfos Rid. I mean, nowadays, basically, if you read contemporary Achronim, they all quote the Tosfos Rid, because nowadays the Tosfos Rid Babos is well known. But the classic, it was the Rashba, right? The Or let's. Mashma meharashva she'asar lechol kulam biyachad. Okay, I'm not getting into this long list. Those are in the afternoon, so you can get to it. Why am I so hesitant about the Rashba? Because there's a lot of debate in the Achronim exactly whether the Rashba really meant to be on the other side of the Chakir as the Rush, or he really agreed with the Rush. He just thought that as a Chomer Drabanan, we shouldn't take advantage of that. So I say, Kain's a Mashmi Rashba. The Rashba clearly comes across as against the Rush. Is he really on the Tosfid side of the Chakira? Or is he really with the Rush? He just holds his Xerid Rabbanan because it doesn't look nice, because it's Pasnesh Midrabbanan. That I'll leave for everyone to look through the Bach and the Shach and the Chuli Chuli and maybe make the Duke and the Torah Bias and figure it out. But the Ikaron, this is what I call the Rush and Rashba. Again, the reason I like to put the Tosafid is not just because Tosafids are cool, but because the Rashba never Mefurish says he's arguing on the Daraisa level. So you can't be sure that he's arguing on a fundamental level. The Rit, the Fur says you're Chayav Chaklas. So that's why he's a safer bet. Okay. So this is a famous Chakira. There are other Nafkaminas in this Chakira also, here's a classic Nafkamina, big Tion in the Achronim. What if the one piece is weighs more, one piece is bigger than the other two pieces put together? Is the one piece still Batal Barov? So if you say it's a matter of following the odds are still two-thirds that each piece is kosher. If you say it becomes a Chetzer Shel Tarobes, then maybe you have to say, well, if it's a Chetzer Shel Tarobes, you shouldn't count the pieces. We should count how big the pieces are. And that's a big complicated deal, and when you actually try to apply the Halachah Maisa, you realize there's a few conundrums there. We will leave that for now. Okay, so now, what does it sound like from the Ritva on our Sugyo? Which side of the Chakira does he hold? Josh, this is what Josh is saying, right? The Ritva holds like which side of the Chakira? Exactly. The Ritva holds that Vitul Yavish B'Yavish is not a Nepach Leheter or a Chetzer Shel Tarobes. Vitul Yavish B'Yavish is just Azalina Basaruba, is just playing the odds. And now the Ritva makes sense. Here we have Vitul Yavish B'Yavish. Vitul Yavish B'Yavish is not really Vitul. Shouldn't really be called, you can call it whatever you want. It's not really Vitul. It's really just the odds are that it's Mutter. And if the odds are that it's Mutter, then the Ritva has a Shita, then that's still called a Suffolk. And therefore you say Asiri Vadev, Lo Asiri Suffolk. Now, what makes this a little more complicated, which is that, who else says like the Ritva here? Right, but the Rush can't hold like the other side of the Chakira. A, because it's not him, and B, because even here the Rush did us a favor and threw in the line that Bittel Barov makes it Nepach Lios Heter. So the question is, what's Pshat in the Tosfos Rush? And this is, so the question is, where did the Tosfos Rush fit in? So here, there's a million gazillion different shitas in the Achronim about the Tosfos Rush. I don't know if I put some of them on the, I think I put some of them in brackets on the Makor sheet. But what I think the simple Pshat in the Rush is, and Eli agrees with me, right? That the Rush never said what the Ritva said. That the Rush, I think simple Pshat in the Rush, depends how you look at it. Let's think about this. The Rush, let me get into the color. What is going on in the Rush? The Rush is the Kasha. The Rush said, this is the Tosfos Rush. Question. Bittel Barov. What was his answer? First, Bali Chaim lo b'teili. Bali Chaim einan b'teilin. Then, his next question was, even if Bali Chaim einan b'teilim, what was the next question? Nich b'shinu d'naydi. I apologize to those who have already gone through Yerudei Sim Kavyot. Nich b'shinu d'naydi is like saying, let's wake up in the morning and brush our teeth. Those who have not yet learned Yerudei Asim and Kufiyot, Nech Meshinu Denaydi is very complicated and daunting. I apologize. What is Nech Meshinu Denaydi? I will try my best. Nech Meshinu Denaydi means even if it's not batel, let's break up the tarovas and make them scatter in all directions, then each one is separate, and if each one is separate, we can use those lina basarov. That's called the parish, maybe a parish. Once, as long as it's in the tarovas, it's not batel. So break up the tarovas, meaning break up the tarovas and follow the odds for each one, right? That's what I mean. Nechushin idea. Stuff them all together till they go crazy and run all over the neighborhood. Now it's not a tarovas anymore. Find each one at a time, and for each one, say odds are that you're kosher, or here odds are that you're eligible for Maaser Behema. Nechushin idea. And what was his answer to Nechushin idea? Exactly. Nope. Gzeira derabanan. Not to. After all, if you're allowed to do this trick, then people might just take them to Tarovas, and they've taken the Tarovas to be a problem, so it's not bottle. Then he says the Tosas Rush, and here I'm going against all the beautiful lumdas of all the modern day Achronim. Then he says, V'od Yesh Lomar. Now, what's the V'od Yesh Lomar? There's some ambiguity here, right? What's the ambiguity? V'od Yesh Lomar on this question or on that question? What's the V'od Yesh Lomar? So Eli Wagner is telling me. Exactly. That's what he's been trying to tell me for half an hour. He's saying this stupid Bednarsh. Why doesn't he just why doesn't he go to read the Tosfos Rush? So the answer is I was waiting for the right time. So I think the Meduyuk way to read the Rush. I think. I know. Over the past 2 weeks, I've gone back and forth a few times. I flip flop more than politicians. I think that the pshat of the Tosfos Rush is that the because what's the lashon? The Od Yesh Lomar came to Chazin and Dafilu Heichad Yochel Asur Imanav Shach Pat Mishum Asir Vadim Rachman Lo Yisir Safik. Vafilu Gemarim called the Parish Maybe but Parish Asir Safik Mikri. He brings in called the Parish Maybe but Parish. So Asir Safik Mikri Elish Hatori Tira Safik Zebi Sur Nechzerach Rabban Lahatos. V'Nepach Is Lahetol Yibitol Barov. So now, the way Ellie's reading it is. Ellie, is that how you spell your name? E-L-L-I?
No, just one L.
One L. Okay.
It's okay, I don't
have... The other L is Polish.
Ellie is saying, here's the answer. The answer is because... Because... Following the odds... is still called a safek. And then, it's no stira to a sheet in the famous Chakir of Yoredei Sinikov test. He admits that Bittel Barov is Nefah Heter. What does he mean? And what he's saying is, look, if it was a matter of Bittel Barov, I admit it was Nefah Heter. But I already took care of Bittel Barov by Bali Chaim Enim Batelim. I already took care of that by Bali Chaim Enim Batelim. Again, you would have the same achlok as Maril and Kresu Plesi, whether he means Bali Chaim Enim Batelim Midoraisa, or Bali Chaim Enim Batelim, that's a Takana Kavua Midrabanan. But, that's what he's saying. I'm just explaining to you, if you break up the Tarovas, why you shouldn't follow the Rove and make each one eligible for Meiser. I'm not answering Tarovas. That's not the question I'm up to now. In which case, the Tosfos Rush is perfectly Nicha, and that's what they... And he's not saying the same thing as the Ritva. A lot of the Achronim read the Tosfos Rush as saying no. Even though it's Nepa, a lot of the Achronim read the Tosfos Rush as... Some of the modern Achronim read the Tosfos Rush as saying no. His answer is that even though Taroves Yavesh B'Yavesh is Nepach Leheter, it's still called Safek. That's the way a lot of the modern-day Achronim read him. Then he's going back to answer the first question. And then it becomes very difficult, because if he's the one who says Nepach Leheter, why should it still be called Safek? Right? Then it becomes... It's not that now there is an external kasha from what he says in Chulin. Now, even internally, the kasha. The way they're reading, even though it's Nepach Leheter, it's still called a Safek.
And the Rana also holds that we always say Chazak Ner. So it's not really Heter.
Aha, okay. So here, I see my time is... is running out a bit. But here the question is, I'm going to leave this a little bit. Obviously, there's a tzarech ion here, meaning What does he mean then? What does he mean then? That's why I'm attracted to Ellie's way of reading him. He's not talking about Bittelberov anymore. Bittelberov is taking care with Balei Chayim. He's just talking about Nachmashinim the 90. The answer to Nachmashinim the 90 is that's just playing the odds. And playing the odds is called a suffix, and he's not like the Ritva at all.
Doesn't work so well with the Lashon,
though. The Lashon would have to be, and if it would be Bittelberov, it would have been Epach Leheter. But here, it's not Bittelberov, it's only Azlina Basaruba, so it's still called suffix. I can't get it to work with Lashon. No, you think it's a crazy read?
I don't think it's crazy.
Okay, Kvaldik. Yeah, anyway, the modern day, I'm going to read him as saying something more mechudish. That even though he thinks that Nebach Leheter, it's still called a series suffix. Now, how does that work? Obviously, a number of Achronim point out what Yosef points out. Lemaisa, here all the Achronim have big chidushim to try to justify this. And one of the answers is based on what Yosef is saying. Maybe you could say that even though he thinks it's Nebach Leheter, it's, after all, he admits Chozer B'Neir, if you add more Isser, it'll become Usser. It's not Nebach Leheter B'Mitzius. It's only that the Gavra can treat it as a Heter. But the Hefter still remains Usser. And therefore, since the Hefter still remains Usser, and the Gavra can treat it as a Heter, therefore, it's still not called a Siri Vadai, because Bechefta is not a Siri Vadai, even though you have the right to treat it all as Heter. That's a big Kiddush. That's what Yosef tried to say. It's a big Kiddush. There are other big Kiddushim we look in the corner in brackets, but I think that, but you have to say maybe that what he's saying is that it's Nepach Leheter Mitzad, I hate to say things like this, Mitzad Hityachsut Hagavra Litaroves, but the Chefta is still intrinsically Usser, and the proof is Chozer B'Neir. That's also, for those not learning Yoredea, maybe this is I'm throwing in terminology. Chozer B'Neir means, let's say I had one treif steak and two kosher steaks. What if I add another treif steak? Big machlokes Rishonim. Whether we say, well, it's three kosher steaks and one treif steaks, now they're all kosher. We say, you know, now it's 2-2 and it's usser. The rush holds now it's 2-2 and it's usser, which holds that it's really nepach leheter, just you have the right to relate to it as heter. So if you only have the right to relate to it as heter, but it's not really heter, then you could say that the cheftz, it's still a suffix, even though, but that's a big chiddush. Okay, we'll have to, okay, we can't totally stop now. We'll have to just take 3 seconds to mention the pshat of the Nesivas in this obscure Sefer Nachlos Yaakov. But the Nesivas says, just going back here, and we'll have to leave it in a row to your preparation and Sefer time. The Nachlos Yaakov of the Nesivas gives a third answer to our original question. Right? The original question is, why isn't it Batel Berov? And what does the Nachlos Yaakov of the Nesivas say? He says, based himself on a famous sheet of the Ramban. I gave you the Ramban from the beginning of Basra. He also says it a little more specifically in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Gimel Ayin Dalet someplace. He has a famous sheet of that Heter is not bottled to Isser. Famous sheet of the Ramban, Heter is not bottled to Isser. So now, why is Heter not bottled to Isser? You tell me how many Achronim you've heard of, I'll tell you that many Pshatim in the Ramban. Why Heter is not bottled to Isser? Rav Yosef Engel says, because you don't want Heter to be bottled. Nothing's bottled unless you want it to be bottled. Okay, that's one shot. Rav Shimon Shkop says, Heter can't be bottled to Isser, because Heter is always more, because it's more useful. Even if it's less, Heter is more, because it has more usefulness. Okay, that's Rav Shimon Shkop, sorry. There's a Chiddush Rim who says, Heter is not bottled to Isser, because the Heter doesn't stop the Isser from being Usser. Therefore, it's not bottle. Only Isser is bottle with a hetel, because it stops the heter from being eaten, so it has to be bottle. Something only bottle if it bothers. If it bothers the roof. And Isser bothers the heter. Heter doesn't bother the Isser. All kinds of svaras. However, the famous Shut Onig Yontif says, I mean, the Siva said it first, says, what's the svar in the Ramban that heter is not bottle to Isser? They say, the Ramban says, heter eino bottle le Isser. Why? Says the famous Oneg Yontif, who made this famous. The Nachlos Yaakov of the Nesivas did not make this famous. Says, why? Why is Heter not Batel Isser?
Because
Because bittel can only... What
change,
can bittel...
Change identity.
No, not change. Bittel can only take away a status. Bittel can't give a status. Bittel can make you ignore something. It can take away a status. That's how they say. Bittel, right? Koach bittel hu livatel chalos. Lo, or if you don't mind me using a little modern Hebrew, levatel ma'amad. Bittel takes away a status. Lo, once I'm using modern Hebrew, lahanik ma'amad. It can't create a status. What does that mean? If treif falls into kosher, it's butl. I take away the status of treif. It's now regular. What's regular food? Kosher. We're not dealing with musr here. We're dealing with halacha. Regular food is kosher, right? So bittel can make something not special anymore. Pork falls into my cholent. Now the pork's not special. It's just regular food. It's all kosher. But if kosher food falls into my ham, falls into my ham soup, then it can't become ham. Because bittel can't give something a status. What bittel means, we ignore the status of the meat. Bittel means we ignore the status of the miyot. But bittel can't give a status to the miyot. That's not, there's no rule of bittel. You give something a status. Bittel just means you ignore the status. Therefore, says the Onigyotiv, comes up with a famous chumra. What was his case? Sure, this happens sometimes. This guy works so hard in the tzitzis factory to do tviya lishma and has 1,000 strings, which were, how do you say tviya? Spun, which were spun lishma, ready for tzitzis. And he has one string that wasn't spun lishma. And it accidentally gets mixed in. Is it bottle? He says, no, it can't be bittel. Why? Because bittel can only take away status. It can't give it status. Here we have something that's not lishma. Not lishma is regular. Being lishma is having a status. Bittel can't make something lishma. So if you have 1,000 strings that are lishma and one string that isn't, you can't use them for tzitzis. The string that isn't can't be bittel, because you can't get a status through bittel. Bittel can only remove a status. Bittel is an ignoring. Bittel can't give a status. Therefore, that one string is still not lishma. Says the Nachlas Yaakov here, he says, what's the status? Is the status to be chayv in Meiser Behema or to be putter from Meiser Behema? Now here's a little tricky. Status is to be chayv in Meiser Behema. Therefore, says the Nachlas Yaakov, that bittel cannot grant the status of Hevel or Chayev, if you'd rather say Lemaiser Behema. Therefore, Bittel, why is it not Bittel? Bittel can only take away statuses. If you said Ashur HaNisko jumped in, then you say Bittel takes away the status of Ashur HaNisko. It's now a regular animal. But if an animal that's putter from Lemaiser Behema, that is regular. They all have a status, 23 have a status, and one doesn't have a status. Bittel can't give the status to the 24th. Bittel can't give status, can only take away status. Therefore, he says, that's why there's no Bittel here. Based on the Ramban, this is the Nesivas. Also, Rav Chanan brings down that he heard this from Rav Chaim. I don't think Rav Chaim had this safe for the Nesivas handy. It's an obscure safe for the Nesivas. But he heard this from Rav Chaim, that Bittel can't give a status, and therefore can't make you Chayv Meiser Behema. Rav Gustman points out, if you look at the Lashon of the Ritva, this is brilliant. The Ritva knew this answer and didn't like it. Because that's where Rav Gustman points out, and I think he has a good point, even though usually I don't like these parts. I think they're a little foolish. But I think here, it's really true. The Ritva sort of knew that you might say this and didn't like it, because the Ritva says that, why can't be batel like truma shenafal l'toch tevel? Truma is batel and tevel. Truma is batel and tevel, meaning it loses the status of truma. Why is he using the example of truma and tevel? Because the Nachlas Yaakov says, it's regular things into Tevel. A regular thing can't get the status. The Ritva says, no, no, no. The one that's wearing Manoi, that's not a regular thing. That's a status of Manoi. Manoi is the status. And therefore, we can take away the status of Manoi. Okay, whether Rav Gustman's right or not, I don't know. Lemaisa, but Rav Gustman says, nonetheless, that you could disagree with this even if you accept the Yesod. I accept the Yesod that Bittel can't give a status. But what's the status? Is the status to be Tevel for Meiser Behema? That's what Nachlas Yaakov says. And Rav Chaim, not so pashuk, because it's not really tevel. You're allowed to eat it. Right? So, you could be, no. The status isn't to be chayv Meiser Behema. The status is to be potter from Meiser Behema. Stam animals chayv in Meiser Behema, unless it has the status of manui. So then you could say that bittel can take away the status of manui, and a stam animal is chayv Meiser Behema. So this becomes a little subtle, but lemaisa, that's the third answer. I think it's a really brilliant chaf on behalf of you. Chaim, which are then also found in this obscure sefer of the Nesivos, that Bittel cannot grant statuses. Okay, we didn't get through the whole thing, but I think we're going to leave it for now and continue in our Chazara, and we'll pick up Emirat Hashem after the Bechina from Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The next year is 2 weeks from today. Next year is 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today on Tani Rav Tachlifa.